Jesus said, "Come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." A sermon that I think will alter and affect your life. I believe that with all my heart. I want it to lift you and strengthen you and give you a new joy in the things of God and of Christ. You know, living a Christian life is the most wonderful life in the world. There's nothing like it. There's nothing that matches it. There's nothing that will replace it. Thank God for the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just in a moment, I'm going to take you to the sanctuary to share this sermon with you. I do want to encourage you to listen to Open Bible Dialogue this coming Saturday. This coming Saturday, okay? That'll be the 21st of June. I want you to hear that sermon, radio program. I want you to hear that radio program. I'm dealing with the signs of the coming latter rain, the outpouring of the mighty Holy Ghost on this earth. Jesus made it plain it was coming. Peter preached about it on the day of Pentecost. It's coming, friend. And I believe it is even at the door. I want to be a part of it. I'm committed to being a part of it. I'm praying and staying before God, believing for that outpouring to begin. I'm really excited about it. I really am. So don't miss it this Saturday. Acts chapter 2, the words that Peter said when he said, "In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Now, let me tell you about the camp meeting. It begins this Sunday. Mike Switzer will be preaching on Sunday morning. That's June the 22nd. And then on the 23rd, camp meeting begins at 7 o'clock on Monday night. And then on Tuesday morning at 9:30, two sermons. Great Bible study with a wonderful teacher on the power of Pentecostal praying. You won't want to miss hearing Jeff Mayo. You won't want to miss hearing Brother David Roper on Monday night. And then other sermons on Tuesday morning, Tuesday through the week. And it's going to be a great week. And we hope you'll be a part of it. And all you got to do is call. All you got to do is call. We'll send you a flyer real quickly so you can know all the details and you can be part of us. Now, we want you to know that we're here to bless you. That's our only cause and reason to be here, is to bless you, to be a blessing to you, and to do our best to bring you closer to the cross. Jesus is coming. The rapture is imminently at the door. I want you to be ready. Let's go to the sanctuary and let's hear this sermon by the Holy Ghost from the Word of the living God. I love you. I love you. You're my friends.
Let your Holy Ghost be the master. Build your church. Build your church, Lord. Hallelujah. The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 37. I would like to read three verses. And I'm preaching this morning on Jesus said, "Come unto me and drink." Jesus said, "Come unto me and drink." Now, I know Jesus said more than that. If any man thirst, he preempts that better statement with that beginning statement. What a picture it is. Let's read it together. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, you know what Jesus is speaking of. It is all right there in the text. If you're thirsty, that's the first. Come unto me and drink, that's next. For he that believeth on me, then that follows. Then follows, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then the source, This spake he of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. Not will receive in every case, but should receive. He's talking about the baptism. Not the Holy Spirit that comes when you convert it, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes and takes possession and becomes the president of your life. He then says that that Spirit is the source of this living water. Hallelujah. Grant it, Father, that this Word of God shall have its right away in this place, this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. And you may be seated. Now, I learned something this week that I feel a bit bothered at myself about. Have you ever learned something and you thought to yourself, why have I never saw this before? Where in the world have I been? So I got on the phone and I called Brother Joey Yates. He's a Bible scholar. Brother Joey, have you ever seen something that I want to tell you about? And I told him. He said, Brother Chambers, I've never seen that before. I said, well, I was just sure you had. And I was so bothered at me because I hadn't. And so it made me feel better. I didn't tell him this. But it made me feel better that Joey had never seen it either. Did you know there are mysteries in this Bible that some of us will never discover? In fact, I should say that differently. There are mysteries in this Bible that nobody in one lifetime will ever discover. Because this Bible is full of mysteries. This Bible is full of great truths. This Bible is spiritually understood, not naturally understood. And only by living in the Spirit would you discover even a part of these great revelations. Well, here's what the Lord taught me. The Lord took me back to Isaiah and showed me. Now, before we go back there, notice something with me. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture have said. As the Scripture have said. Now, what was Jesus doing? Jesus was reminding his listeners that what he was saying was in the First Testament. It had already been stated. It had already been taught. And he was simply reteaching, reminding, enumerating, opening our hearts, opening our eyes to something Isaiah had said long ago in the Holy Ghost that was prophetic, that he had come to fulfill, that he had come to meet this great prophetic statement and to do it in our lives. And so God helped me to make my way back to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. I actually found the Scripture under the verses here in John 7. I had just never gone back to it. Why? I just never took time to see it. You know, I'm confessing to you that I don't know it all. And though I've discovered this, I'm going to tell you that there'll be other things I will yet discover. And there'll be other things that I will never discover in this life. But I will know it when I get to heaven. Aren't you glad that Paul said we prophesy in part? But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Isn't that wonderful? Brother Aaron, it's wonderful to know that we will never know it all in this world, in this life. But the day is coming, Valerie, when we shall have it all, hallelujah, with our perfected bodies. Well, let's go to Isaiah 44 and let's look at what the Holy Ghost had prophesied of this great prophet Isaiah. It is breathtaking indeed. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Now I'll come back to that verse, so keep it marked. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's what Jesus was making reference to. And I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself in the name of Israel, or by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. Notice he said, in his Redeemer, that's Jesus. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. I love that. I've never seen that before in my life. That verse just overwhelmed me. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Wow. One of the most wonderful references to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament you will ever find. I don't remember one more specific and more wonderful and more beautiful than this one. It blessed my soul just to read it. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me? Since I anointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming. Notice that, and the things that are coming, things not yet. Things yet unfulfilled in Isaiah's day. But he said, things that are coming. I like that. And shall come. They are coming and shall come. Not one prophecy in this blessed Bible that will not be fulfilled. What a beautiful truth. Let them show unto them. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it, ye are even my witnesses? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. And listen to what God said. I know not one. Hallelujah. God said, there is no God beside me. I know not one. Now God said that, speaking by the Holy Ghost to Isaiah. Now I want you to do something. Brother Dylan, next Sunday morning, I want us to memorize two through eight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 through 8. He's smiling. Listen, this kind of scripture needs to be written on your heart. These kind of scriptures need to be wrote right across your mind. Hallelujah. David said, his word have I hid in my heart that my steps might not slide. Did you know that? Again, he said, his word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. The word of God will keep you. Now, here is a passage of scripture that Jesus came to fulfill that is so breathtaking that I want to preach from it this morning with this subject. Now, Jesus said, come unto me and drink. Jesus said, come unto me and drink. You have the right to come to Christ and drink until you're satisfied. Did you know the Bible said you have not because you ask not? Did you know the Bible said you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust? There are people who want God because it feels good to feel God. But they don't want God because they're in love with him and because they want to serve him and they want to walk with him. They just want to feel good. And some people serve him because they don't want to go to hell. If there was no hell and they could be convinced there was no hell, they'd forget about God in a minute. Well, they don't know him like this Bible's talking about. Because when you know him like this Bible's talking about, you want him more than you want anything else in this world. Hallelujah. And you will see that in this great passage of scripture. Now, the first thing I want you to note is that Jesus spoke to two companies of people in this verse. I should say the Father by the Holy Ghost. Spoke to two companies of people in this passage. He said, fear not, O Jacob. Fear not, O Jacob. Now Jacob was the Israel of the Bible. He represents the whole 12 tribes. He represents all of the Old Testament saints. O Jacob, fear not. But then he said something quite breathtaking. And thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Now that word Jeshurun speaks of a Jerusalem, but not the physical Jerusalem of that day, but the spiritual Jerusalem of the church. And the spiritual Jerusalem is the body of Christ. So he's speaking here to both Israel and to the New Testament saints. Because this is a passage to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is a passage that we are to revel in and rejoice in and soak into our very being. Because it's spoken to us. And I love the way he said that. Fear not, O Jacob. Fear not, O Jacob, and my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord Jesus chose you to be part of his body, to be part of his church, to be part of his bride. The Lord Jesus chose you to be special unto him and for him to satisfy and fulfill every need and every burden and every care of your life. The Lord Jesus saved you for his kingdom. He saved you for his glory. He saved you to love you and to care for you and to watch over you and to satisfy every need of your life. He saved you so that you could drink from his fountain that never runs dry. He saved you because you are important to him. And he speaks this both to Israel and to his bride, the church, whom he calls Jeshurun. That word Jeshurun is a poetic word. It has a kind of benevolent, holy, marvelous love sound and ring and meaning. And he was speaking of his bride, the church. He was speaking of his spiritual Jerusalem. You do know that the church is his spiritual Jerusalem, do you not? There is the natural Jerusalem. There is the heavenly Jerusalem. There is the spiritual Jerusalem. And there is the new Jerusalem. And they all are special in the sight of God. It's a beautiful picture to study the Jerusalems and the names of Jerusalem and to see the beauty of all their great meaning. So you are spiritual Jerusalem. And you are not saved just to be, you know, just to be wanderers and helpless people and to coast your way around this world and to be under the load of all the great things evil that will come against you. He didn't call you to be paupers. He called you to be his rich servants. Hallelujah. And I know life is not easy in this world of ours, but we are the chosen people. We are the special people. We've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. We are a holy temple. We belong to a great and holy God. And we are to be used of him for his kingdom and for his glory and for his purpose. We are his. Does everybody understand that? Oh, I wish I could convince the saints of God of this generation how special you are to him and how he wants to reveal himself in you. And he wants you to be full of his praise and full of his hallelujahs. He wants a shout in your soul and a glow on your face and a hallelujah in your lips and a spring in your step. He wants to make you special. And that's what this passage is all about. We being his people. Any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. No wonder Jesus said those words in John 7. Because he came to flood your soul with a satisfying portion of heavenly graces and heavenly majesty. And to fill you and to make you special in his sight. And I pray this morning you will let him make you special as he desires to do. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, verse 3 says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You know, he's never going to make you drink at this fountain. He's never going to make you come for this satisfying proportion. He's going to never make you a flood of living water against your will. He's never going to satisfy you with the great things he has promised unless you get hungry for them. Oh God, make us thirsty this morning. Make us so hungry and thirsty. If you're hungry and thirsty, or if you're willing to let him make you hungry and thirsty, would you slip your hand up and just say, Lord, I want to be thirsty. I want to be thirsty. I want to drink after the things of God with such a delight and such a joy in my soul. I want to want them more than anything else in this world. Let me tell you something, saints of God. Listen to me, please. Listen to me, please. We must understand he wants us to be thirsty for him. And that's the whole point of this text, is how can we make ourselves thirsty? You know, you can take a mule to drink at the creek, but you can't make him drink. You can't make him drink. I remember as a farm boy how, you know, you'd have cows and mules, and you had your different cattle, and some of them didn't drink like they ought to. And you know what my dad would do? My dad would go buy a big old block of salt. And I remember seeing those blocks of salt put on something in the ground to kind of hold them up in the air. And the cows and the animals would come by and lick the salt. And when they licked the salt, then they'd head for the creek to get some water. Hallelujah. I'm trying to feed you some salt this morning, Brother Eddie. I'm trying to put some salt in your appetite. Hallelujah. And get you thirsty after the water of life, after the water of satisfaction. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, friend, this is real. This is real. And he says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. No wonder Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He just kind of turned the words around on Isaiah. Isaiah said he'll pour water on the thirsty. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. You see, Isaiah said it in as prophecy in advance. Jesus said it in presence. Jesus said in the moment. He said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? How long has it been since you were so hungry for more of God and more of Christ? How long has it been since you were so starving after the scripture, after the things of God? How long has it been since you thought your soul would famish if you had to wait from Thursday until Sunday morning to get back at church? How long has it been since you couldn't wait all day when you was working to get home and get your Bible out and get somewhere and hide away a little while and search the Holy Scripture? How long has it been since you went looking for some music that had an anointing to it and had theology that was really real in it, and you would just listen to the music and sing and praise and honor the great God, the great Jehovah? How long has it been since you were so thirsty you thought you couldn't stand away to another drink from the heavenly fountain? Hallelujah. I'll tell you right now, I'm thirsty this morning. I've never been so thirsty. This week has been a wonderful week of prayer for me. Hallelujah. Just letting my soul do without some things that normally I enjoy, and just wait on the Lord. Make me thirsty, Holy Ghost. Make me so thirsty that nothing else will satisfy me but Jesus. If any man thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. I will pour water upon the thirsty. Now notice how full this sufficiency is. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. My church is thirsty, saith the Lord. My church is empty, saith the Lord. My church needs to drink from my fountain, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. I want to tell you something. Many people are thirsty and don't even know it. They're running here. They're running there. They're running there and they're running there. The Holy Ghost just said many of my people are thirsty. And then they suddenly realized why he was saying that. He's saying that because they're really looking for something and they don't know what they're looking for. They think it's the world. They think it's this or that or that or that. And they don't realize that the soul is empty because it's thirsty for the living water and nothing else will satisfy. Would somebody drink this morning? Would somebody drink this morning? Would somebody drink? Hallelujah. He said, praise the name of the Lord. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Man, he will so flood you and so highly. Oh, I'm believing for that in camp meeting, Brother Jim. I'm believing God to flood this place with the living waters until every soul in this family, every soul that comes to this place will get so hungry after Christ that nothing else will satisfy them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He will pour floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. As willows by the watercourse. Now let's stop here a minute. Let's talk about that word willow. Anybody know and understand the nature of a willow tree? A willow tree must always be planted beside the spring, beside the creek, we would call it, beside the waterway. He calls it the watercourse. The willow must be planted there because the willow is a thirsty tree. The willow is a thirsty tree. Not only is it a thirsty tree, but it's a tree that does not lift up its branches as though it's proud, but hangs its branches down as though in humility. The willow tree is a tree that is beautiful indeed. I've seen some of the most beautiful trees in my life were willow trees. They were beautiful, but they were different because their limbs hang down as though in humility. They must be planted where there's plenty of substance near the watercourse. And they drink, and they drink, and they drink. And the more they drink, the more beautiful they get. And they can grow very large. And their limbs can hang down until they touch the grass at the ground. And they are beautiful. And he's saying that that's how we ought to be. We ought to be broken in humility so we don't act haughty and proud. But we ought to be thirsty so that we ever stay at the place of satisfaction and the place of sufficiency. God wants you to be like a willow tree. And God wants to plant you beside the watercourse. And God wants to make you to show forth your beauty, not in haughtiness, but in humility. Are you listening to me, church? God's talking to us with his scripture. He never puts anything in his Bible just to fill space. It's there to teach you. It's there to be a revelation unto you. Hallelujah. There's enough troubles and enough sorrows and enough heartbreaks in this world to keep your limbs hanging down. There's enough disappointments and difficulties to make you a person that could dry and wither and lose your beauty. But the hope and the answer is stay beside the water course. Don't get off on some hillside where there's no substance for your life. Don't wander after this world and lose that divine yearning and hunger for the watercourses of heavenly grace and heavenly beauty. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. And through all of your difficulties, though your limbs be hanging down, you can shine with the radiance of heaven. Why are you just looking at me? Hallelujah. How many want to be a willow tree planted by the watercourse of divine grace and shining and vibrant in the beauty of God's provision? Hallelujah. Oh, church, hear me, saith the Lord. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. I love that. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. That really talks to my soul this morning. I realize all these years of serving him, I've had to stay close by the watercourses. I've had to stay near the cross. I've had to stay near the cross. I've had to run back to the cross so many times, there's no way to remember. I've had to just continue with disappointments and a broken heart and dark things coming against me and billows of the enemy's turmoil and his blistering attacks somehow just hang close to the water course. Hallelujah. Don't expect to be a tree with your limbs stretching high into the sky. Just be a willow by the water course, humble and gentle and tender and showing forth the beauty of the grace of Jesus Christ. Holy close right here. Hallelujah. 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 I love it. I love it. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water course. Hallelujah. I'm satisfied just to be a willow. How about you? You say, I want to be an oak tree. I don't want to be no oak tree. I just want to be a willow. Hallelujah. Broken and humble. My limbs hanging. Oh, but my soul springing with joy. And the beauty of the color. The beauty of the reflection from a willow tree. I've never seen one yet planted at the right place that I didn't think was so beautiful. I'm going to go buy me one in the next few weeks and plant it down near the creek. Hallelujah. I love the thought of a willow tree. I do. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord. And surname himself by the name of Israel. Now I want you to notice that verse because it is powerful. Here are people. Here are souls. Here are people who were thirsty, who drank. They don't only drink, they became a constant at the water courses of Christ's grace. They drunk and they drunk and they drunk of his graces. But now in this verse, they begin to identify with him. They want to be called by the names that are spiritual, by the names that are full of the beauty of God's divine choice. They want to be called by the names of purity, the names of holiness. We live in a world that people, you use the word holiness, it just disturbs them very greatly because they just can't stand the thought of holiness. Let me tell you something. You live near the watercourses of divine grace. You live under the great fountain of his satisfying proportion. You walk in the mercies and the fullness of God. You spend much time in this word, reading and studying and learning. You drink and you drink and you drink, and your soul will become so committed to him that you want to be identified with him. That's what holiness is all about. Holiness has been beautiful in history past and in many of the churches you and I know about, because the people would drink and they would drink and they would go to revivals and they was in the Bible. They'd study the word on Wednesday night and listen to the sermons preached on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, find a revival for Monday night and a revival for Tuesday night and sometimes Thursday night, because they were so hungry for the word. And as they got hungrier and hungrier for the word, holiness become as natural as a goose going barefoot. I want to tell you something. When you get hungry after Jesus, you want to be identified with him. I don't want people to see me as anything but a saint. I don't want them to see me as some old mischievous and evil character. I don't want them to see me as someone with a bad spirit and someone with a negative attitude. I don't want to see them see me looking like this world and looking like the compromisers out there. I want to be a saint of God. I want the glow of his countenance to be upon me. That's what that verse is saying. One shall say, I am the Lord's. One shall say, I am the Lord's. How about somebody repeating that? Can I have some more? I am the Lord's. Hallelujah. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. I'm Jacob. I went to the brook and I stayed there until I got identified with him. I had to hobble the rest of my life because he touched my thigh. Put a peculiarity in my walk. I said of the night, I'm a peculiar person. Somebody said, that's what Christians are supposed to be. You better believe me. But where are the peculiar saints today? Who wants to be called peculiar? Who wants to be called peculiar? Who wants to be called different? People go to work and somebody will say something about their face not having all the, you know, all the stuff of the makeup industry, and they'll go home and I feel so embarrassed when I go to work and I don't look like the others. I just got to start doing this so I don't look so different. God meant for you to look different. Do you hear me? God meant for you to shine with a radiance of beauty. I tell you what, you get close to Jesus and he'll fill your heart so full of the passion to be like him. You'll want to be called Jacob. You'll want to be called the Lord's. You'll want to be called Israel. You'll want to be called something that God has chosen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, are you listening? How many of you are listening? You say, Brother Chambers, I'm tired of the old holiness crowd. Well, there's plenty out there that don't want it, so, you know, you won't be lacking for a place to go. But I want you to love holiness. I want you to love purity when the human nature is broken. Like an old willow tree, it begins to hunger and thirst after the nature of Christ. This is all the prophecy that Isaiah gave, speaking of Christ coming. And Jesus puts his approval upon it when he quotes it in the book of John 7. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He was trying to get those Israelis listening to him to go back to Isaiah and see the beauty of this great prophecy. It took me a long time to get there, but thank God I made it. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Jesus is already talking in this passage. Though he was yet to be born of a virgin, though he was yet to appear and die on a cross, his message was already ringing clear and loud and wonderful. For thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Do you know that? How many of you know there's no God but Jehovah and his son Jesus and his spirit, the Holy Ghost? Rubbish. Hallelujah. Would you just worship a moment? Would you just worship? Hallelujah. Father, I love you this morning. I pray that you'll get a hold of every one of us. I pray that you'll somehow break through in our lives and make us such a light and such a blessing and shine with such radiance. Hallelujah. That everybody that sees us will know that man's been with Jesus. That woman has been with Jesus. Their life shines with that beauty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, who am I? And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. The things that are coming and shall come. I'm the Lord. I am the one who appointed what's going to happen. I'm the one that told you the Christ was coming. I'm the one told you that a child would be born. I'm the one that told you he'd be the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. I'm the one who told you he'd be crucified and he would die for you and shed his blood for you. I'm the one, he said. The Lord said, I'm the one who told you all of this. Do you understand this morning? There's no truth beside God. There's no truth beside God. You can go where you please to find any kind of wisdom you want to find. But when you get back to this book, you will find that it is the ultimate wisdom. Hallelujah. It is the ultimate wisdom. I get amazed at how marvelous this book is. And the longer I serve him, the more convicted and convinced I am that this is ultimate wisdom, that this is ultimate truth. Hallelujah. And it never fails to feed my soul. It never fails. Hallelujah. Fear you not. Neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not one. Let me close this morning by talking about the hope that we have in this Christian life. The hope that we have in this walk with God. I'm telling you, I look at this world, and every time I look at the news, I'm more heartsick. What is happening on a worldwide scale is indescribable. Brother Smith called me this week and said, Brother Chambers, I got to tell you something. It's a little bit scary, but I feel like I need to tell you. I said, okay, Brother Smith. He said, I've got a Navy man in our church. His wife and four children attend our church, and he's constantly gone off on tours. And he's just come in from 6 months, and his wife had been watching and waiting for him for 6 months, and he came in, and then he just got a call from his sergeant or his superior and said, we've got to go back out on Saturday. That was yesterday. He said, it's an emergency. We got to go out. And he said, what are we going for? So I can tell my wife. He said, I'm sorry, but I can't tell you nothing. It's a total, total secret. It's a total emergency. He said, but I can tell you one thing. We're going out there to protect the homeland of America. We're going out there to protect the homeland of America. I feel chills go over me when I tell you this. Because I want to tell you something. We've never been in such danger as America is in right now. Brother Roy, there's never been such a dangerous time as this time right now that we're living in. I'm here to tell you, we are sitting on a powder keg. This world is sitting on a powder keg. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can know this. I see enough news and I read enough news that there are multiple enemies out there that hate America with a passion. They hate America with a passion. You know what just happened in the swap with an American. I don't think he's one of us. He had run away from his responsibility and duty and joined up with the enemy in Afghanistan. And we swapped five, I believe it was, of terrible criminals from Guantanamo for this one man who had forsaken our unit in Afghanistan. And of course, there's furor about it all over America. I don't know how to describe all this happening. I've got so disgusted with politics and the political things that I just stay in my Bible and stay away from it most of the time. I go get a little enough once in a while to feel the pain and even the fear sometimes of what's going to happen. It's a dangerous world. Do you understand that? It's a dangerous world. But I got news for you. The God of this Bible has not gone to sleep. He's not on a vacation. He's not at a retreat somewhere. He's right on his throne. His Son is right beside him. His Holy Ghost is right here in this world. And I feel his presence right now. And everything's going to be okay. It may not be good. It may not be what I want. It may not be what you want. And it may be damaging. And multitudes may yet die in America. But our God is on his throne. Hallelujah. Our God is on his throne. And it's going to be okay. The earth is mine, saith the Lord, the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Oh yes, it's a dangerous time, but there's hope. God said it as plain as it can be. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time? And have I not declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not one. There's nobody to take care of us but our God Jehovah, our blessed Father, his Son, the Lord Jesus. His Holy Spirit that's right here in me and you, if you're born again right now, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he's there to pray through you and talk back to the Father in the heavenly language. And if you've ever prayed in the Holy Ghost, you better learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you ever prayed until the power of God possessed you with all of his glory, you better do so. The time for tomfoolery around the house of God is over. It's time for the moving of God's Holy Ghost. There's hope in the air. That's the word I want to end with this morning. There's hope in the air. I said there's hope in the air. Three, faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity. In the middle of faith and hope, faith and charity is this word hope. What does the word hope mean? It means expectancy of what God's going to do at the right time. If you have hope, stand. If you don't have hope, don't stand. If you have hope, stand. You have hope? Oh, we're living right on the verge of some of the most momentous events of human history. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know what's going to happen last. Did you hear that? I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know what's going to happen last. And why do I need to know what's going to happen next if I know what's going to happen last? Is that right? Anybody understand that language? I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know one thing. I'm going to live near the water courses. And I'm telling you, you better live near the water courses. You need to get so thirsty that this world don't satisfy you. You need to get so thirsty that this world don't have nothing that allures you away from the things of God and the things of Christ. You need to become so hungry for Him and so thirsty after Him that nothing can keep you from this book and keep you from the Word of God and keep you from worship, keep you from the house of God, keep you from the things of the Lord. I don't care what it is. This is our hope. Hope is in the air. Hallelujah. I love it. Jesus said, come unto me and drink. Great. I'm thirsty, Lord. I'm thirsty, Lord.
There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee.
Hallelujah.
There is none.
I know not.
Holy as the Lord.
Machali Tabang Sibili.
There is none. Holy as the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is none.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Neither is there any God like our God.
Hallelujah. There is none.
There is none holy as the Lord.
Listen to me, church. I want to tell you.